This is the People's Show on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650. Here's Bick Nizar and Randeep Janda.
Welcome back. Final hour of the People's Show, hour three on Sportsnet 650. Bick Nizar, Randeep Janda, also here from Jamie Dodd, part of the Canucks Hour as well. Go subscribe to that pod as well on Spotify, Apple, wherever you make us part of your day. Always appreciate it. 650, get your thoughts coming in. A lot of thoughts coming in, Randeep, on this JT Miller discussion after Frank Cervelli mentioned it earlier today. Actually, we'll pause on that, but let's talk to Shane O'Brien now, former Canuck and longtime NHLer and part of the Missing Curfew podcast. Obi, how are you?
Good, fellas. How are we doing?
Doing all right, Obi.
Long time no talk.
Yeah. Sorry, boys. Well, you guys didn't play a hockey game in Vancouver for like a month, so we kind of forgot you guys were playing up there. So, I got to be honest with you. I felt bad for the boys. They were the hottest team in the NHL, and then, boom, they couldn't play. I give a lot of credit to those players. If it was me, I would have been popping off in the media being like, this is a joke, we're not playing. Just because of the momentum they had going, I felt bad for them.
Yeah, it's not playing for that long, and then when you do play, you go to the Southeast, which is rough, man. Florida, Tampa, Carolina, three of the best teams in the league right now. Obi, does that remind you of the old California trip, going down the Pacific Highway there in San Jose, L.A., you know, the Anaheim Ducks, when they're all good? Like, it feels like the Southeast trip has become that now.
Yeah, that's a great comparison, and I think it has, right? Tampa's unbelievable. Like, the other night, you know, they go in there, they got 4D and 12 forwards against the team. They're like Kings, have been playing great, and they find a way to win 6-4, like, they're just unbelievable. Florida, one of the most exciting teams. You talked about Carolina. So, yeah, if you're going down there, especially coming from west to east, it's a tough trip. The old California trip was always hard, Randy, but I always knew I had my rookie party lined up in L.A. Win or lose, I was having the rookie party, so I always had that to look forward to.
Obi, you're always a winner in California. But I remember hearing, you know, conversations at that point and just the heaviness of those teams. All three teams are heavy. You had Jumbo Joe and San Jose. You had your boy Getzy in Anaheim. You had, you know, guys like Kopitar in L.A. And even before that, there was a heavy team to play against as well. Like, what's the mentality heading on a trip like that? Is like, boys, just try to make it out and survive and try to pick up a point if you can? Or are you legitimately trying to win here? Like, what's the mentality of guys?
Yeah, great question. And you know what? I'll go back to my first year in Vancouver, right? We were off to a great start. We were, you know, I think we were leading our division at the time, but we hadn't played San Jose yet, and they were the best team in the NHL. So we were feeling pretty good about ourselves, and we're heading down for the Cali Swing start in San Jose. And obviously the Shark Tank back there was buzzing. And, you know, before the game, we're like, this is a good test for us, boys. See where we stand. Wow. The Shark Tank was buzzing. Jumbo had 3 points. Dan Boyle, anyways, they ended up blowing us out like 5-2 or 7-2 or something like that. So, and the rest of the trip didn't get any easier for us. So it was tough. You want to go in there and win, but a lot of these road trips, you just want to come out 500, right? You don't want to, you know, lose five in a row on the road. You just want to kind of get as many points as you can.
Talking to Shane O'Brien on the People Show, Bick Nizar and Randeep Janda. Shane O'Brien brought to you by Grip Auto and Tire. So the Southeast trip, you know, Nashville, Florida, some pretty nice spots. The California trip still better as far as vacationing on the trip?
Oh, good question. I mean, throughout my time, I mean, right, Tampa wasn't very good. Florida stunk. So anytime we went through there, it was like, we're going to play some golf. We're probably going to South Beach. I used to play in Tampa. I knew some people there. So for me, throughout my time, I always liked going through Florida because of what Randeep said, California. Yeah, you can't beat Florida in the wintertime. That's a pretty good place to go on the road.
All right, we've been talking a lot about JT Miller today because the report came out that, hey, you know, the Canucks have a lot of interest in the player, and there might be an appetite to actually make that deal from the Canucks' perspective as well. JT Miller is not whining out of town by any stretch of the imagination, but maybe he'd be open to it as well. Obi, when you look at this player, I know you're a fan of him, but at this point when his contract is up after next year, do you trade him or do you try to commit to him long term?
I mean, I would try to lock this guy up, you know, if I was in that position. But also, it's, you know, you look at the Pacific Division right now, boys, and if you're in the Canucks dressing room, everything they've been through, right? You, like, 2 months ago, right, we were writing them off. Everyone wrote them off, right? It's over. They're done. Well, they're in a division right now, besides the Vegas Golden Knights, that is wide open. So if I'm in that dressing room, or I'm, you know, obviously Bruce Boudreau's done a great job, they're still in this. So right now, I'm not thinking about trading JT Miller. I don't think the Canucks are done. They fought their way back into it. I would see how the next couple months play out.
How much of, you know, kind of believing in this team again is down to Elias Pettersson? He's looked really good the last couple of games. Is he finally back after a slow start this year, in your mind?
Yeah, I think his confidence is coming. Although I saw him toe pick in Nashville the other night. That like he was just kind of blue line, he toe picked. I'm like, geez, that's something that I would have done back in the day. But I think his confidence has come a long way. And you know, I saw Nolan Baumgartner's comments. I believe he was, you know, he's on Sportsnet this week, and he made a great point. Like, if your top players aren't your best players, you're not going to win. And that's the reality in the NHL. And I was so blessed in Vancouver to have the Sedins. And then guys like Kessler, and obviously Burrows came around. But if you look at Henrik and Danny, the consistency of how good they were, their time in Vancouver, you truly appreciate it. Because if your best players aren't your best players, you don't have a chance to win.
Yeah, and you look at the record when Elias Pettersson scores, the Canucks are really good. They're, you know, 7-0-1, if I'm not mistaken. And when Demko has goal support, they're 14-0-1. So the best players, when they have shown up, especially with Pettersson, the Canucks do get those results, but it hasn't happened all that much. Obi, okay, I had my thoughts on the All-Star game and the selection process. I'm not a fan of it. I want to see the best of the best. I don't understand how Nazem Kadri doesn't make it in the first time around. You have to go through a voting process to get him there. But, Obes, I know you weren't selected to an NHL All-Star game, but you're an All-Star partier. You used to hit up the All-Star game. So from an NHLer who is not playing in the game perspective, how great of a party was it prior to COVID as well, right? Like, it's not going to be the same. But, like, what's the festivities like when you're not playing in it and when you're just socializing with the boys?
Oh, it's unbelievable. I mean, it's such a great, you know, listen, it's a privilege and an honor to play in the NHL, and it's a grind though. And you know, when you have that day, you know, those 2 or 3 days, or 3 or 4 days, where, you know, obviously I was nowhere near being an All-Star, so I could, you know, book my trips and go have a good time. And it was great for everybody to, if they had families or not, you get away from the game. And if you're lucky enough to be an All-Star, you go represent your team and enjoy the weekend. But the All-Star weekend, if you're in it or not, it's a great weekend for everybody.
You know, the fans vote the players in. I'm sure the players voted you in, you know, just to come hang out. You know,
you always
got the boys' vote.
I'll tell you what, the guys that were, like, you know, close to getting in, so they didn't make plans for All-Star break, if they didn't get in, then they would text me and be like, Obi, what are you doing for All-Star break? I got no plans. I'd be like, fellas, don't worry, I got it all dialed in. We're going to Cabo, meet us there. That's when they would text me.
There we go. When you're looking for, you know, organizing a trip or a night out, Obi's your man. That's the first guy you got to hit up in your cell phone. I plan on doing that one day when I get back to California as well. All right, you listen to the People's Show. It is Shane O'Brien joining us here now. And Obi, one guy that's not going to the All-Star game, kind of shocking, but he might have a say in why he's not going. Brad Marchand has been beefing with Vincent Trocheck and the Carolina Hurricanes. They kind of went back and forth. Marchand hit him with the, hey, you're comparing a Lamborghini to a Prius disc, which was pretty elite. What do you make of this Marchand versus Trocheck Carolina beef? And you know, he took it to Twitter as well.
Yeah, I love it, man. I want more of it. I think NHL hockey players, we're the greatest people in the world, right? They're all nice guys, this and that. And sometimes I think we're, you know, too nice sometimes. Like, if you have a beef with somebody, tell us, right? And now that I'm in the content world, obviously I want everyone to do it because we're talking about it right now. But I thought, you know, I thought Trochi's comments, and I love Vincent Trocheck. I thought, you know, when he's like, are you calling me a rat? I thought that was great. And then Marchand comes back. But when he chirped Carolina, Brad Marchand, about this is the reason we still pay 20% escrow, as an ex-player who hated escrow, I thought that was the best chirp. That was the best chirp of the year.
So, okay, let me ask you this, as far as beefs, because, again, we love them, right? And I think they're honest and they're fun to look at. But you're right. It's like, hey, NHL players regarded as some of the nicest nicest athletes around. And then when we see one of these chirps, it's like, whoa, 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 slow down here. It almost feels like that niceness gets crossed over. It's like, hey, come on, man, we're all nice here.
Yeah, well, listen, I guess we come out in the media and the public as nice people. And when we, you know, when we meet people through our team and charity events and all that, we're very polite and very professional, and we take pride in that. But obviously, when we're on the ice in the dressing room, things are said and we're not that nice, and we're not going to bring that out to the media. But I think there's somewhere in between. Listen, we're trying to grow the game still to this day. And I know down here in the States right now that tweet between Marchand and Trocheck, it's being talked about on ESPN. The boys on TNT are talking about it. Some of my buddies at the golf course are laughing about it. I truly believe it's good for growing the game outside of Canada.
Yeah, you might say, hey, maybe not, you know, some hockey players are mad or sometimes they got some attitude. Jim Matheson in Edmonton would say they're pissy based on his exchange with Leon Draisaitl. Obi, what did you make of that, man? Leon wasn't having it and Matheson didn't back down either.
I would say everybody in Edmonton in January is probably a little pissy, right? If you're an Oiler or not, it's January in Edmonton. You're freezing. It gets dark at 4 o'clock. No, in all seriousness, I get both sides of it. Like, you know, I love Draisaitl. I love Connor McDavid's game. I feel for them. I feel that they're in Edmonton, in a bubble, dealing with all this COVID nonsense in Canada. And I get it. They're sick of answering these questions. And I also get a reporter has a job to do. I was lucky my 2 years in Vancouver. We had good teams. The media loved me. I enjoyed working with the media. Connor McDavid and Draisaitl, that's a responsibility as the two best players. Unfortunately, Louis had to do it in Vancouver. You got to answer the tough questions.
Talking to Shane O'Brien from Missing Curfew Podcast, obviously former Canuck and longtime NHLer. You had a couple of bouts. We've seen a lot of fights happen recently. Zdeno Chara fights Zach MacEwen, obviously former Canuck. Who's the NHL's heavyweight champ right now? Because we had this talk, you know, Ryan Reeves has got it, and there's some big boys right now. Who's the number one fighter in the league?
Yeah, it's a good question. Yeah, the boys are a little edgy coming off of the old COVID protocol stuff. You locked them down for a couple weeks, and then you let the dogs out of the cages, and now we're seeing the fights go up. I would say, you know, probably McDermott or Reeves are the two legit heavyweight champs. But for me, my favorite guy right now is Milan Lucic.
Oh, yeah.
Lucic will fight anyone. He's contributing. I think he's got 8 or 9 goals. His foot speed looks good. He's a big part of that dressing room. So my favorite tough guy ever was Bobby Probert. I would say right now the Bobby Probert in the NHL is Milan Lucic.
Yeah, there's one thing about, like, Lucic and Reeves right now is that they don't fight very much because nobody wants to fight them. And when you fight them,
exactly. You
know, you have a situation where he takes care of Scott Sabourin in that Ottawa game. And Ryan Reeves, last guy I think he fought was Michael Pezzetta. Poor kid, had no idea what he was going to get into there with Ryan Reeves. It's just like fighting both of those guys is a mistake. And I'm with you. I think Lucic's got to be the champ because not only is he big and powerful, when he lands those punches, Obi, they don't look like they're fun to take. Man's got a big fist.
No, and if you notice Luch, he's smart. When he punches, he pulls guys and then punches, right? Like, you saw at the end of the fight with Sabourin, he was throwing his big right, but he was pulling him in with his left, too. And that's when you can get hit hard, which Sabourin did. And listen, I'll give Sabourin the most credit in the world. I never fought Lucic. I never wanted to fight Luch. For him to do it, it was unbelievable. But those muffin lefts at the start, I mean, he's got to go back to drawing board, fellas. Those muffin lefts, big Lucic, just like, he's like, did somebody open a window? But it takes a lot of guts to fight him.
All right, Obi, before we let you go, we got one question from the people, because this is the people show up. Rager coming in with, how excited are you to be going to Beijing with the Canadian team there, Obi? I saw the graphic that Missing Curfew put out. You and Mark Mathot on a pairing, that'd be pretty good.
Yeah, right. I mean, I don't have enough time to get in shape, unfortunately, to get over there if it was true. But I'll tell you what, there was a time where that team, let's even call it, you know, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, if you had that team against other guys that aren't in the NHL, I would have liked our chances. I think we could have done some damage. But our social media guy, Mark Prince, he's a good Alberta boy. He's unfortunately, he's a diehard Flames fan. We won't hold that against him. But that was a pretty cool idea. The hardest part with that team in Beijing would have been keeping us in the hotel room. We would have been breaking protocol every single night.
Your favorite Canuck and ours. It is Shane O'Brien. OB, appreciate it, man. We'll talk soon.
Well, thanks, guys.
That is Shane O'Brien, former Canuck and Missing Curfew podcast, and he's on Sportsnet 650, brought to you by Grip Auto and Tire, winter tire service you can trust, and 14 BC locations to serve you.
To borrow a line from John Tortorella, there'd be a lot of guys playing guilty on that Olympic team. just rolled into to bed at like 5 a.m. in the morning on a game day. Bunch of that happening.
Hey, man, just get the dub. Just get the dub.
All that matters. Just win, baby.
Piknasar and Randeep Janda here. All right, so this man, it has been a full busy day. Talking JT Miller, talking Rachel Doré getting signed into the analytics department for the Vancouver Canucks. And also the GM search, Randeep, it continues. You know, we heard today when Elliot joined Jeff earlier today that and also was reported before as well, just the kind of down to the last little bit here, and Frank Cervelli also mentioned that you could see the final interviews happening this week.
That's right. There are some individuals, according to reports, in town for interviews right now. And, you know, that timeline, February 1st, right? If you want to take your time with this, you've got people rolling in to do those interviews. But we're starting to see kind of the wheels turn here. We saw, you know, the hiring today in the analytics department. Now, there's multiple things that, from what we are hearing, that there's a number of conversations that are going within the organization. The GM job is one thing, but, you know, we talk about those AGM roles as well. Maybe there's some director-level hires potentially coming as well. Jim Rutherford, in the past, has had a pretty, you know, robust hockey operations department when he worked in Pittsburgh. So I think the GM job is the one we're all going to focus on, because that's going to be an extension of the president of hockey operations. That's that vision when we talk about, you know, making trades, when we talk about player moves and exercising and executing Jim Rutherford's vision. That's going to be the job of the new GM, whoever that may be. But there's also these other side moves where you're looking at, okay, if we're looking at three AGMs in Vancouver, we know Derek Clancy's going to be one of them. But how are you filling those other two positions? Are you going internal with Orion Johnson? Are you going external? Potentially some names that we've heard in the past, you know, Jennifer Botterill and others. You know, over the next little while, we should have clarity, but it starts with these interviews that are apparently going on in Vancouver this week.
Let's hear from Elliot when he joined the Jeff Merrick show earlier today. Here's what he had to say on the Canucks GM interviews.
I believe there are interviews going on today and tomorrow. And so I think that Vancouver is getting through its secondary process the end of the week. You know, one other name I kind of heard, and I don't think he's a finalist, but I think he was somebody they at least talked to gauge his interest, was one of our broadcasting friends, Anson Carter. I don't think that – I just heard the timing wasn't right, but I've heard that Carter and Rutherford have a lot of respect for each other. And there was a conversation about it, but it just, you know, the timing I heard wasn't right for everyone involved. I think the final interviews are coming down today and tomorrow. So we'll see where we go here.
It's Elliot Friedman when he joined the Jeff Merrick show earlier today. A little update there for you on what's going on with the Vancouver GM search. All right, we do it every day here on the People's Show. Your chance to drop your hot takes. We had a great, great session yesterday. Our guy Kevin Killarney with a fantastic don't at me, walking away with tickets to the Zach Brown Band. You got another chance to compete for tickets to that, which is the Out in the Middle Tour, October 21st at Rogers Arena. Tickets go on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m. through Ticketmaster. Let's get to it. Don't at me.
Your takes uninterrupted. Don't at me. Text in your submissions to 650-650.
Don't at me. I said, what I said.
It's brought to you by LeaseBusters. Get out of your vehicle lease with ease, confidence, and a LeaseBusters leasing specialist to guide you through the journey. Go to LeaseBusters.com to start the process today. Get your text in, 650-650. Randeep and Jamie, I got a don't at me today.
All right, shoot, what you got?
Don't at me. It's the same story with the Whitecaps. One step forward, two steps back.
Yeah, man, that's rough. That's rough. Like, I think more details are starting to come out now with Max Crapo and why maybe that deal was made, but it doesn't matter. The overall narrative is the Caps lose another player. More change, more turnover. Even when things are right, Bick, to your point, man, here we are. Here we go again.
Yeah, it just it's the same story.
It's the meme.
Same story, and it's the meme. Yeah, it's, you know, how do you intend to build positive momentum as a franchise when now a star level player is going out? And again, I know there's some reports here about, you know, just getting essentially outbid, and you're hard pressed to find consistent players that fans want to attach themselves to when there's this much turnover.
And big part of that turnover as well is that the Whitecaps can't compete with the heavyweights financially, so therefore their good players are going to end up somewhere else. I saw some chatter online about, like, oh, you're not allowed to do this in MLS, in North American sports. You can have back-channel conversations. If you don't think they're going on in the NHL, you're out to lunch. So this I know this happens in, you know, European football a lot, where a player has a deal with another team and all that, and the Whitecaps essentially were forced to make a move. Hey, man, that happens in other sports as well. They're back-channel conversations, but it's a rough look for the organization. I got a don't at me as well before we get to the people. Don't at me, but even with Halak and Demko in protocol, the Canucks still have a better goaltending situation than the Oilers.
Oh,
that might be a facts only.
You could throw that in both. A don't at me and a facts only.
Spencer Martin greater than Mikko Koskinen.
I don't know, man. I covered that Saturday night game where Stuart Skinner was just getting just worked by the Ottawa Senators. He had a rough night. Maybe Spencer Martin can do that better than that.
I want to buy into Stuart Skinner, to be honest, but that is a tough task to be thrown into there and say, hey, save our season. I don't know. He might be onto something. I guess we'll see how Spencer Martin performs if he has to take the crease later on this week, tomorrow against Florida. 650-650, what are the don't at me's in the inbox?
We got this one from Pricer. Don't at me, the NHL needs to expand playoffs from 18, it's actually 16, to 20. So he wants 20 teams in the playoffs.
Hey, man.
Oh, no, man. No.
Slowly adapt.
I'm okay with half of the league making the playoffs. Are we talking about 20 out of 32 teams making the playoffs? What is this, the CFL?
Maybe a play-in game or something like that. Because technically you could say, hey, if we extend it by two, we could have a play-in game and one of those teams gets in. You could do that.
Nah, man, that's too much. Like, I get in football, in the NFL, it worked and it created interest and it created all this drama. But we already have that drama in hockey. We already have potential play-in games when teams are tied. Let's not water it down when it comes to the playoffs. Like, 16 is just fine. Nothing else. Nothing more. I'm happy.
Dave in Vancouver, don't at me. By the end of Elias Pettersson's career, he will have accumulated more points than Henrik Sedin in a shorter amount of time. That is Dave in Vancouver.
Okay. All right.
It's all right.
Yeah. Okay. We got this one from Chris in Surrey saying, don't at me. DiPietro will start tomorrow and play extremely well and will ultimately take the backup job from Halak. So that's a don't at me slash a, like, looking into his crystal ball there.
Don't at me. The Canucks need to get Reeves from the Rangers. He is highly coveted as a New York Ranger right now.
Okay, you know who paid a first-round pick for Ryan Reeves? One guy named Jim Rutherford when he was with Pittsburgh.
Fair. Hey, this is a good don't at me. Are we ever going to see your most recent media pictures? Are those never going to be released? Yeah, whatever happened with those?
Yeah, I don't know.
The big photo shoot, just falling by the wayside here. Don't at me. Randeep, it's missing curfew, not missing the curfew. Come on, man.
Did I say missing the curfew?
I don't think I did. So
I don't think I did either, but Rob, maybe you're right. I'm not sure. Obi didn't snap at me, so I'm going to... Okay, Rob, I'll take it as a... Maybe I did.
If one of us did... Our bad, Rob. Our
yeah,
bad.
Exactly.
Don't at me. Head of scouting, Benning.
I don't. It's a don't at me, though, so I can't go at it. We got this one from Travis the Courier. Don't at me. There will be a combined 14 goals scored in the Oilers-Panthers game tonight. Smash the over on that one, folks.
I mean, I might smash the over on the Canucks tomorrow, or the Panthers tomorrow.
I think I've started something here. Don't at me. Spencer Martin is better than Koskinen, signed an Oilers fan.
Just signing it might have won them the Zach Brown tickets. Baker Mayfield, don't at me. Baker Mayfield was a borderline top 10 QB before the start of the season.
Not for me.
Yeah, but now we live in a different reality now, though. Again, before the start of the season, sure. But no, we don't live in that reality anymore.
No, this is a really good one here from Uncle Nelson, uncle to one Chase Claypool. Don't at me, but Chase Claypool gets traded to the Bills. Ooh.
Wow.
If Uncle Nelson's coming with that text.
Woo.
That's an interesting take.
Don't at me, Karen from Mount Pleasant. Man, there are some strong submissions coming in here. Karen from Mount Pleasant. It's one thing to mine value from a player like Tyler Mott, but trading JT Miller is effectively throwing in the white towel on the season. That is Karen from Mount Pleasant. It's strong. Karen doesn't want to throw in the white towel on the season. And why should you? Why should you? Play it out.
We know when Markstrom and Tanev left the team, there was, you know, the sense of belief left the room. Does something similar happen if a JT Miller is traded? That's a valid question from Karen.
I think the question is, Randy, and again, I'm an advocate for playing out this season, right? And then if you're going to make a big move, make it in the summer. But it is an interesting conversation of what is the trade before the deadline and what is the trade in the summer? And what asset are you omitting from that process?
Yeah.
Because if it's a massive return, then okay, you can convince me to do it here. But I'm kind of with Karen. I want to play out the season. And if you need to explore a Miller, Horvat, Besser move, I'm doing it in the summer, not now.
Okay, let me ask you this then. If you know that you're not going to sign JT Miller after this year, then what does it matter? If your end goal is he's not being signed or he doesn't want to sign or whatever the answer is, if you have clarity on that already, Bick, I think you have to take that package. You have to look at that stronger deal, which is still being made at this point rather than the offseason.
All right, we'll pick our winner in the break here. But thank you for all the submissions. 650-650. For Don't At Me, you got a chance to win tickets to the Zach Brown Band Out in the Middle Tour. Tickets go on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m. Ken Priestley, our Mr. Fix-It, on the way from Dunbar Lumber, two-time Stanley Cup champion. He'll join us next on the People Show, home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
I saw the graphic that Miss and Kirby put out.
This is the People Show with Bick Nizar and Randeep Janda.
Here we go, final segment of the People's Show today. Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah, set to take over the airwaves at 4 o'clock for Canucks Central. Bick Nizar, Randy Janda here, and Jamie Dodd will connect with Ken Priestley, our guy from Dunbar Lumber, our Mr. Fix-It, two-time Stanley Cup winner, in just a minute here. We talked to... last week, if you want to go back, find it on the podcast, Trevor Lai, who designed the Lunar New Year warm-up jerseys. Fantastic interview. You can go back and listen to it. And there's some questions that day. Hey, when are we going to see these? Well, the Vancouver Canucks just dropped in their press release the 25th, coming up here pretty soon. And also, you can get the Lunar New Year merch, shirts, buttons, mugs, and all that sort of stuff at the team store or vanbase.ca. Proceeds Lunar New Year merch are going to be donated to Eliminate Hate Foundation, an advocacy arm of the Vancouver Asian Film Festival. So you'll finally see those awesome, awesome red jerseys, Randeep, on the 25th.
Yeah, looking forward to that. Looking for the in-house entertainment that night as well. There's a lot in store. There's going to be a night market on the North Plaza of Rogers Arena. And just having, you know, had the experience of working on Diwali night, it's very similar. It's an awesome night in the rink and just a cool night there's going to be hockey, but you're celebrating something that's important with the community, an important date in the community, celebrating the diversity we have here in the region. So January 25th against the Oilers, you're also going to be able to check out, you know, some pretty decent players on the ice, but a special night celebrating the year of the Tiger.
And including whoever they have in goal. Whoever they have in goal.
Yeah, they might have a Tiger in goal, actually, based on the way that things are going right now.
A little house cleaning before we get to Ken Priestley. Big shout out to Karen in Mount Pleasant, winner of our Don't At Me, picking up tickets to the Zach Brown Band. Again, tickets to that go on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m. for the show on October 21st. All right, let's get to Ken Priestley, our Mr. Fix-It from Dunbar Lumber. Ken, it is wild times for the Vancouver Canucks right now because more players into protocol. They already got Horvat, already got Garland, already got Halak there. Demko and Miller missing practice today, waiting for official status from them. It's just awful kind of injury, you know, virus luck for them right now. In your career, what was the worst injury luck you had in your time playing?
You know what? I was pretty injury free. I mean, I had a separated shoulder, broken hand, you know, stuff like that. But I kept all my teeth and my knees stayed strong. So I'm pretty happy about that. But the odd bumps and bruises here, and if a separated shoulder a couple of times was the worst thing that happened to me, I think I made out pretty good.
All right.
What about for the rest of your team, though?
I was witness to a couple of broken leg injuries, and I was witness to a couple of blown knees, but they were. Nothing that was screaming and you know, actually I shouldn't say that. The worst thing that I was witness to was a Clint Malarchuk. I forgot about that. Mm. That was one of the worst. I want to get
right
out of
there.
My mind, but that was that wasn't a fun one. That was we were playing St. Louis and I actually know the other player whose skate it was that happened to be the thing that, you know, made the damage, but yeah, and I think it affected that player just as much as it, if anything. But, yeah, that was one of the worst things that I ever seen.
You're listening to The People Show. We're joined by Ken Priestley, two-time Cup winner, and Mr. Fix-It, Dunbar Lumber. And, you know, we've been talking a lot about, Ken, just about the Canucks and their goalie situation. As of right now, Yaroslav Halak is in protocol. He's in the United States. Looks like Thatcher Demko potentially could end up there as well, depending on what happens with the test. You got Spencer Martin, Mikey DiPietro that are the next goalies in line to play the Florida Panthers. When you have a couple of young goalies like that, as a skater, do you play differently? Does your mindset change when you've got a couple of young guys potentially playing tomorrow night?
Yes, for sure it does, especially if you're not, you know, you're not used to them at all. You would see them in training camp and you know, get a few exhibition games in with them. But if they haven't played regular season, there's nothing like having a Demko or a Halak in your net. There's just nothing like it. And, you know, everybody plays the puck differently. Everybody communicates differently. You know, sometimes, you know, goalies, you know, especially if you're coming in for your first or second game, obviously you're very nervous and things are just a lot different. But, you know, most of the time when there's a young guy coming up, especially a goalie in your lineup, your team definitely plays a little bit different game, maybe not so relaxed or confident to make that pinch of the defenseman or, you know, not quite back check quite as hard, but, you know, it's a different time for sure, but, it's time to see these guys. I mean, we've been very, very lucky to have, you know, Thatcher playing the way he does and contributing the way he does that. But there's also a time and a place to see your young guys in your organization. And, if it has to be this, it has to be this. And, you know, either one, I've seen them play in Abbotsford, and I'm excited to see them both at this level.
Now, he's a little older, right? He's 26 years old, so he's not fresh-faced, you know, rookie coming in. But when you're an opposition player and you see an inexperienced goalie in net, what's the first thing you're doing? Just wiring a shot or crashing the net? What are you trying to do?
Yeah, if you're a shooter, it's point night. if you're a shooter, that's what you're thinking. Yeah, this guy's never played a game before. You want to make sure that you get shots on goal. And I guarantee you that's what I would have been thinking. Yeah, you like everybody else. If a goalie gets pulled halfway through the first or the second or whatever, the first thing you say as a coach is get shots on goal. This guy's cold. He's coming in. He's not fresh, right? Like you want to put pucks in the net and see how this guy handles himself. It's a totally different pressure. And especially when you're playing at home, obviously not in front of a sold out crowd, but that's not anybody's fault. Yeah, you want to put them under the pressure as much as you possibly can and see how they're going to react.
Oh, it's not an ideal situation from a health perspective, but the Canucks are on a 2-game winning streak. They take care of business on the final stretch of that road trip. But in total, though, Ken, what did you think of the tough road trip that they had and how they came out of it?
Well, I think the last time we talked, we were worried about what was going to happen in Florida and Tampa Bay and Carolina. And you play those teams, and I think you expect your team just to sort of hold their own. Right. And I do think that going 2 and 3 on the road, they did play well. I mean, there was time you would have liked them to maybe have got another win in there. But to go down 0-3 and then come back with 2 wins, especially against Washington and Nashville, it shows some character. There's no question, because I think some teams in the past that would have gone into that same sort of situation, I don't know if you would have got a win in Washington or Nashville. And it was nice to see Petey get a few goals, and hopefully some things have been erased out of his game. And now if we can get home and get a few wins and feel good about ourselves, it's a good stretch here.
Talking to Ken Priestley, our Mr. Fix-It from Dunbar Lumber, two-time Stanley Cup winner as well. The first game back after a long road trip like that, right? We talked, it was such a difficult road trip because of the opponents, but you know, it's still a little bit of a lengthy road trip as well. What's it like getting back home after a long trip like that? Is there a first game hangover?
Sometimes it's a little tough. I mean, I think that they've been away for it. COVID's playing obviously an effect on everything, right? I mean, you think you're going to come home to a sold out crowd and everybody's going to be loud and cheering for you and all that, and you're still going to be loud and you're still going to be in your own you know, comforts of your own home and your own surroundings and your dressing room and all that kind of stuff. But there is something there after a long road trip. You come back for your first game, that maybe things aren't quite there, but you know what, you just go out, do what you can do, and control what you can control. And obviously the team that they're playing is a team that they've played within the last 10 days and they want a good second shot at them. And, you know, they're coming off a tough game, so they're going to be ready too. So let's see what happens. I'm enjoying watching Florida at the moment, and, you know, they're a good test, and I think it'll be a good test for Vancouver, but we're on a 2-game winning streak here. Let's see what we can do this time around.
Yeah, Ken, you mentioned Elias Pettersson, and, you know, with JT Miller out, with Bo Horvat out for now, it looks like the next 3 games against Florida, against St. Louis, and against Edmonton, he's going to be some tough center matchups coming his way. You know, you highlighted in the last 2 games, he's really elevated his game, and hopefully the confidence sticks. But the challenge ahead with potentially a Barkov playing him, you know, Ryan O'Reilly coming, and Leon Draisaitl or McDavid, this is the degree of difficulty is going to go up for this young man.
Yeah, it doesn't get easier. You know, this league has the best players in the world, and there's never an easy game. You know, every game you watch, there is exciting, strong young players, exciting veterans, and you know what? It's Barkov and what he brings to the game. Again, being from Vancouver here, we don't get the chance to see what Florida has to offer all the time. But if you put a Barkov, a Huberdeau, a Reinhardt, I mean, even their depth in their third and fourth line is so impressive that they're definitely going to be a team that's there at the end of the year, contribute, you know, at least thinking that they're going to be one of the teams that are looking for a Stanley Cup. They were an impressive team to watch, and when they get on a roll, holy cow, I don't think there's too many, you know, more teams other than maybe Colorado that can stick with them playing that run-and-gun offense.
He is Ken Priestley. We love talking to him, our Mr. Fix-It from Dunbar Lumber. Kenny, we'll talk soon. Thanks a lot.
Yep. Thanks, guys. Take care. Enjoy the game.
Ken Priestley, our Mr. Fix-It from Dunbar Lumber here on The People Show on Sportsnet 650. Whew. It's been a fast show, man. It has been a full show.
There's been a lot going on in Canuck land today. We talked about the COVID protocol, especially with JT Miller and Thatcher Demko potentially heading in there with the test coming sometime this evening, the test results. Mm-hmm. Canucks adding to their analytics department. Bic is a big news item as well, especially given, you know, infrastructure building in this city when it comes to the team. We hadn't necessarily seen it in the last couple of years, but, you know, there's been a lot going on today.
And we also asked you, wrong answers only to start the show because of those COVID situations. No Jaroslav Halak and no Thatcher Demko potentially. Who is next on the Canucks goalie depth chart? Wrong answers only, 650, 650. Going back into the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox. There's some good submissions. Peter Skudra. Going into the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox. Also, Julie the Cat Gaffney from Mighty Ducks 3. Earlier we had a Goldberg reference, and now we definitely forgot Julie the Cat Gaffney. In my opinion, the superior goalie.
Yeah, that could be one, absolutely. We had Lisa Simpson come in. Paulie coming in with, Keanu Reeves could reprise his role in Youngblood.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's an option if we're going through fiction. It's wrong answers only. We got this one from Mike in Tawasin. Eddie Lack. Well, okay, let's. I know it's wrong answers.
Well, he's
only.
Free now. He's free now. He's not beefing, so he's nope. He's free now.
Exactly. Okay. You know, a couple of days ago, Eddie Lack had some comments on the air during our interview with him. Ian McIntyre and him obviously had a pass. They didn't see eye to eye, and Eddie was not a fan of an article that was written. Long story short, you know, I think there was a lot of conversation over the last couple of days on social media. But great that they could talk it out. They squashed the beef. And that's good. That's the people show. Hopefully, you know, we can have some sort of get-together when things are good. Maybe there's tacos with iMac and Eddie are possible after all, Vic.
Oh. Is that another wrong answers only right there? Should we save this for next Tuesday? You know, what is... what will Eddie and Ian break bread over? Or what will be the reunion visit? With Eddie and Ian McIntyre.
Okay, I like it. Hit us up on Twitter. Hit us up on, you know, on the text inbox as well. 650,
right now, 650. What will Eddie and Ian bond over when Eddie Lack finally comes north of the border here?
I like it. I just like that they're seeing eye to eye. That's important. That's good. They're friends of the show. We want to make sure that everybody's happy.
The People Show has healing powers. Basically, is you're not saying it, but. What's left in the unsaid part is the People Show has healing powers.
We helped bring, you know, bridge the divide in a weird indirect way.
We bring people together. That's all, man. That's all we do.
It's true. That's our new slogan.
650, 650. Man, we got a lot of wrong answers only submissions coming back in here. Johan Hedberg, he's away from the terrible, the terrible goalie according to Crawford. That is Richard, the goalie dad, 26, in Kits.
We got this one, unsigned. Please put your name on it. The goalie of the future, Kevin Weeks. Bring him back.
Hey, man, he's always, you know, he's always in the mix for GM jobs.
He is. He was in the conversation for the Florida job before Bill Zito got it. The Canucks, you know, there was some chatter early on in the process. So, yeah, there's he could be back in some way or form.
Cody in the Grove, they'll bond over. Look, we have competing wrong answers only right now, but send them in. Definitely a taco and iron brew from Cody in the Grove.
I could go for that. Both good things.
Did I pull that off right? Iron brew?
You rolled the R perfectly. I can't roll an R like that. That's elite right there.
Wait, you can't roll an R?
Not well. I can't do it. Like, I can't do the iron blue. I come in with the Willie.
Yeah, I don't think Bic did it right either.
I think it's blue.
Yeah, because IMAX giving us this. And by the way, guys, they would definitely have a beef taco.
Yeah, of course.
That's what they would share.
Yeah, 100%. And I also, like, I think it's Willie from The Simpsons. It's iron blue. Blue, right? I think that's what it is.
Jeffro's calling us out saying, sorry, you guys started the beef.
How did we start Eddie the beef? No.
We definitely did not play in the NHL.
No, I.
That's where the beef started.
No, I'm not going to get into the, you know, the who started what beef, but
yes,
all we did was ask a question. That's it.
650, 650. Some good thoughts covered in here. The bromance. Lackmack. Ian and Dunbar is coming up with the bromance name. Lackmack.
Lackmack? Okay. Could be. Could be the next Brangelina.
Yeah, it's got some potential there. It's got some potential there. Bottomless mimosas from James and Burnaby.
Okay, I know Eddie would be down for that. I'm not sure if iMac is a mimosa guy. We'll have to... He's more of a scotch guy.
Yeah, so I think Eddie owes Ian a bottle of King Louis 13.
Buddy in Surrey.
Yeah.
Yeah, the what was it, $180 per shot?
Allegedly. I think he said $5,000 a bottle, wasn't it?
$5,000 a bottle. Yeah, that's pretty accurate.
Yeah.
Those are not cheap.
Island Chef says Riccio is going to make a nice bowl of spaghetti, and iMac and Lack are going to squash their beef Lady and the Tramp style.
Knowing Eddie, he's going to put ketchup on that spaghetti.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Finally, Kits Mike, they will bond over watching Reach playing backup for the Canucks. Reach could do a great job covering the bottom half of the net.
How about the upper half?
That is... The man's just sitting down, getting ready for Canucks Central, catching strays big time in the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox.
He's probably like, okay, I'm going to listen to these guys before I go on air, see what they're talking about. Maybe we can... And this is happening. The text inbox is just dragging him.
He's working the phones. I just imagine Reach working the phones right now. He's like, all right, next GM, who are they going to hire? JT Miller going to trade? He just hears from the outside of his... just outside of earshot. Reach can't even cover the bottom or the top half of the net. He's like, what? What?
Hey, man. The text inbox is ruthless. 650. We got a lot of wrong answers today. We got two topics going at the same time. Shouts to the people because they brought it today, Vic, for sure.
Oh, I love this one. Brandon and Poco. We're asking you who's next on the goalie depth chart. Put in J.C. Pete or J.C. Petit from the old McDonald's commercial. Quick, like a shark.
That's a good pull. It's a great
poke
pull.
Poke check.
Great pull.
Nice try, no go, love. All right, keep the fire coming in the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox for Riccio and Sat. They're coming up with Canucks Central. Busy day for the Vancouver Canucks. GM search continues. A hire into the analytics department. JT Miller potentially getting moved. Players potentially going into COVID protocol. It is busy for the Vancouver Canucks. And you know Sat and Dan will have it all covered on Canucks Central. Coming up, thanks a lot for all your submissions. Big shout-out to Nabil Kareem, Adnan Virk, Shane O'Brien, Ken Priestley. Check us out on the podcast if you missed anything on Spotify or Apple, wherever you grab your podcasts. We'll see you tomorrow on a game day, a home game day. First time in 38 days. We're psyched. We get to see Bruce. There it is, all over again. And we'll see how your Vancouver Canucks can fare against the Florida Panthers. For Andy Panda, Jamie Dodd, and Chris Faber, our Bick Nazar, we're at here on the home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650.